All right, kiddos, come on and join me. How's everybody today? I want y'all to turn around and you can probably see it better this way. You can see it better. Does y'all come around here where you can see it? Does anybody know what that picture is? It's 9/11 and Jackson. What else? 9/11. What happened?
I know.
All right, Will, you want to tell us what happened?
It's whenever two groups of terrorists hijacked two planes and crashed them into the World Trade Center towers at New York.
That's right. Two of the planes. One first hit the North Tower, which is one on the right, and then the second one you can see is coming on the left into the South Tower, and then
a third plane.
Yeah, just a little while, they collapsed, and then a third plane hit the,
Pentagon.
The Pentagon, that's right, and a fourth plane went down in Pennsylvania that was probably headed to the White House or somewhere in Washington. So, who did this?
Terrorists.
What kind of terrorists? Islamic terrorists did that. And do you know how many people were killed?
Millions.
No, it wasn't millions.
Thousands.
Thousands.
Several of them rescued.
In fact, a total of 2,996. That included the 19 terrorists that were killed, and of that number, hundreds. Firefighters and policemen went into those buildings. They knew those buildings were on fire, and they knew they were taken there. But they went in and willingly gave
their lives
so they could get other people out. And there are many stories. But I wanted to see. I know this is kind of graphic for y'all as children, but it's something that we all need to remember. We need to remember what this happened, and remember the sacrifice that people made so that others could live. What was?
Really hard just to get it around where we live, because whenever we get out of the neighborhood, you turn to the left and you see a giant American flag.
That's right. That's right. Well, now, y'all listen to me. Those firemen and those policemen gave their lives so that other people can live. Can y'all think of anybody that gave his life so that we can live? Who?
Jesus.
Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's right, Elijah. And you know what? The people that did this, they believe in that they don't believe in the God that we believe in. And so what we're trying to do throughout the world is not only stop them from doing things like this again, but to get to their heart and share the good news of Jesus with them. A lot. Okay. So I want y'all to let's pray together, okay? Let's pray together and thank the Lord. We want to pray for those families of the people who lost loved ones. And we want to pray that the good news of Jesus is going to go to the world and these people will come around. Let's pray together. Now, Lord Jesus, we come to you and we do remember. We remember all of those who gave their lives and all the people who died on that day 15 years ago. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bring your comfort, that you'll bring your peace to these families. Lord, we also pray for the lives, for the families of so many, Lord, of our service men and women who have given their lives for freedom all around the world in fighting this war on terrorism. I ask you, God, that today they will feel your comfort and your peace. Lord, we know in our hearts that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, we pray that all the nations of the world will turn to Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. All righty, y'all can go to Kids Zone. Today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. We cannot let this day pass and pretend, like some would pretend, that it never happened. But remember. And so today, we're going to share a little bit. We're going to see a video so that we can get this firmly in our minds. But John, if you'll put the two questions up there as we view this video today, it's just a few minutes. Two questions: where were you on the morning of September 11th, 2001, and how did the events of that day make you feel? After the video's over, I'm going to give you some of you an opportunity to share that with everybody. And so, John, if you'll start that video. Artie, will you get the lights in the back there?
September 11th, 2001. A day of grief. A day of courage. This is how that day unfolded.
My daughter called me. She said, a plane just flew into the World Trade Center. I said, nah, you gotta be kidding me. It's gotta be a Piper Cub or some clown was flying down the river.
At 8:46 a.m., American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston, with 92 aboard, traveling at a speed of 470 miles per hour, strikes the North Tower of the World Trade Center complex. Within minutes, officials coordinate the citywide emergency response. Their base of operations is a state-of-the-art command center located on the 23rd floor of 7 World Trade Center. With one tower in flames, the tragedy is only beginning. It is 9:03 when United Airlines Flight 175, with 65 aboard, traveling at the speed of 590 miles per hour, smashes into the South Tower of the World Trade Center. This aircraft strikes the corner of the South Tower. It rips a diagonally shaped gash from the 84th to the 78th floors. The South Tower lasts only 56 minutes before it succumbs at 9:59 a.m. The dust cloud billows outward for blocks. Victims stagger away. At 10:28, the television mast atop the North Tower spears straight down.
Once the collapse started, there really wasn't any way to stop it. It was just going to go all the way down once it got started.
Chaos in New York City. Power is down in Lower Manhattan. Phone lines jammed with more than 230 million calls. Hundreds of firefighters trapped in the towers. Hundreds more race to the scene. Falling debris from the collapse of the North and South Towers ignites fires in the neighboring buildings of the World Trade Center. World Trade 4, 5, and 6 are ablaze. World Trade 7, the building housing the city's command center, burns unchecked for 7 hours. At 5:20, it collapses. The city's emergency nerve center is destroyed.
Somewhere in that time, and it's very hard to keep track of time during this, they had been ordered to evacuate number 7 by the Port Authority. To this day, we don't know who gave that order, but whoever it was saved a lot of people's lives.
With New York a war zone, some residents walk across the Brooklyn Bridge to get out of the city. Others seek escape in vessels piloted by the Army Corps of Engineers. At 7:45 p.m., the New York Police Department says 78 officers are missing and estimates that 200 firefighters are dead. At 10:56 p.m., police officials say they believe there are victims alive in the rubble of the World Trade Center.
Working with urban search and rescue teams, there was a lot of areas to be searched underneath the debris field. There were voids that had to be searched for possible live people.
September 11th, 2001, the longest and most tragic day in New York's history, is drawing to a close.
Where were you that day, and how'd the events of that day make you feel? Step over here, Jim. Get the mic.
I was up in Massachusetts, Haverhill, Massachusetts, at a CVS store. And behind the counter, there was a TV playing, and I saw one of them go down, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I didn't have time to stick around too long, but I did see, the plane and the building going down. It's like, you know, mystified. It's like, what the hell?
I was living in Miami, which is a pretty big city at the time, and my mom and I, my kids were all in school except for Chloe, who was not even a year old, and we were on the bed playing with Chloe watching TV, and all of a sudden the TV cut off and went to a newsreel, and they showed the first building going down. And at the time, my husband and my father were in downtown Miami, which is all huge buildings like that. And they were by the port because they were, my dad owned a optical distribution at the time. And so they were downtown visiting different people, you know, trying to sell lenses and contacts and glasses at the time. And we panicked and we didn't tell them what was going on because they had no idea, but we just told them that they needed to come home right away because Miami's such a huge city and they were by the port that we were afraid something was going to happen there as well. So we just told them to come home, and we told them, listen, just trust us, just come home right now, like you need to come home. They came home and we told them what was going on. And at that time we were afraid because we lived in such a huge city that we were like, okay, what if we're next? Mm-hmm. So we were in fear at that time.
I was working at a software company, and all of a sudden we stopped getting phone calls. And so we went into the conference room and turned on the TV, and we saw the first building go down, and the entire staff was standing there in complete shock. And then we saw the second plane hit, and we didn't realize how many people were already in the building because we started work early. And then I think we were all just stupefied at that point. It was just complete shock. And when the phone started ringing again, we couldn't really do our jobs because the only thing we could think about were these poor people who were up in New York. And then we got news that the Pentagon had been hit. And that's pretty much when we just closed down the call center. And that, to my knowledge, is the only time the call center has been closed down. So it was a huge, just emotional roller coaster for everybody in the office.
I don't know if I need this, but I don't know if I can get through it. I was deployed with the Army, and I was in Kuwait, and kind of strange, but I was probably in the safest place compared to home, and I couldn't do any. It was strange because I just worked all night. I ran a reconnaissance exercise over there, and we'd just gotten done. I'd gotten back to the tent that we lived in, and had been there all night, so it was morning there. Actually, I don't even remember what time it was. I guess that would have been evening there. And Deb calls, and she says, "Have you heard what's going on?" And the day before, we'd had one of our reconnaissance airplanes, a Predator, was shot down. And it made the news. And so I thought, because she knew I was associated with all of that, and I thought that's what she was talking about. And I said, it's not that big a deal. It just, you know, we have more airplanes, and nobody was on our side was hurt. Nothing was, you know, just money out of the pocket. And she goes, no, I don't think you know what I'm talking about. So I turned on our TV over there and couldn't do anything.
Okay, in the hospital, James was in the hospital. The TV sound was down. We looked, we said, what movie is this? We thought it was a movie. And turned up the sound, and it was the buildings going down. He was worried. We had family there. We couldn't get anybody on the phone. Nobody. So he's in the hospital already, panicking, because we couldn't get phone lines were down. When we finally got his mother on the phone, she said she was okay. She didn't understand too much what was going on. But he had a cousin that worked in that building right there. And she said, for some reason, Gloria called in to work that day. She didn't go to work. She stayed home. She wasn't sick. She just said she just didn't feel like going. If she had went to work, she would have been one of those people in that building. Mm. And I said, how good God is. And by the time we collected all our family members and did a head count, everyone seemed to be fine but shaken. His nephew was working in that building, construction work. He took a picture of that plane. He said, I didn't think it was real. I thought the plane was just losing control. He said when the buildings hit, when the plane hit, he just dropped to the ground and shot. The shock was amazing. It was just amazing. So good.
We were newly married, and I was teaching middle school in Clarksville and had my first observation literally while it was happening. They had us not tell the kids the whole day. And we would rush into the teacher's lounge and look and see and then go back to our class. And we were stationed on Fort Campbell and we lived on base, and my school was a few miles away. It took me 7 hours to get home. Jerry left his work, walked all the way down all the streets, and met me in the car. And he had just returned from a year being gone, our first year of marriage. He just graduated Green Platoon in late August and become part of a special operations unit. This happened, and then he left October 6th, and then I didn't hear, see, talk, know anything of him for 2 months, and just waited. The night that he left, I knew that there was a chance I might never see him again.
One of the people who flew that airplane was Muhammad Atta. He lived in Decatur, Georgia, just right around the corner from where I was. And he never intended to learn how to land. He just knew how to fly. And he did that. We were at Holy Comforter Episcopal Church at about 9 o'clock in the morning, 10:30, somewhere along in there, when the word is what had happened. And we were all crushed. I'm angry. I wish there was something I could have done.
Joel and I had driven to Massachusetts to be with our family. We were having a christening, for one of our new grandchildren. Three of them were born that summer. And the way we drive up there, we don't go up 95, which is real close to New York City. We go around the back way. But when you go over the bridge, called the Tappan Zee Bridge, up the river, up the Hudson River, on a good day, you can still see the skyline of New York. And that the day when we drove up, you know, we were always excited to see it. So it was a good day. We could see the skyline, and you can see the Twin Towers. And so we were at our daughter's when it happened. And, well, actually, the day before it happened, two things. Our son that lives in Boston said, come in, and we'll go to the island right across from the airport, and we'll have a picnic, because we had a new granddaughter with him. So we went in there, and we were sitting, and it's, you know, Logan Airport is on the ocean, and so the planes take off right over the water, right over you at this island, and we were having our picnic, and it was a beautiful day that day, too, that Sunday, and or Monday, I guess it was, and so, you know, after it happened, and you're thinking, you're sitting there the day before when these men are planning this, and the planes are taking off, and people got on those planes innocently, just expecting to have a good time. One family, I remember them saying, a family of four were going to Disney World and or Disneyland, and so their whole family was wiped out. But the other thing was, when we drove home a week later, it was a clear day again, and we looked down the bridge, over the bridge and down the river, and not to see those towers. It was amazing.
I was a sprite 16-year-old at the time in high school. It was a second period trig class. I had a teacher that had to do things her way. She'd been teaching a long time. And she was still trying to go over her lesson when one of her fellow teachers came in and said, turn the news on now. And we're all not knowing what's going on. And she said, when I finish my lesson, I'll turn the news on. So we all sat there mad at her because she wouldn't turn it on, but trying to learn trig at the same time. And then all of a sudden, the front office comes over the intercom and wanted to speak to Jamie Ruthier. I'll never forget his name. And he said, I'm here. And they said, your mom called and she's okay. And none of us knew what was going on. We said, Jamie, what's that? He said, my mom's in Washington, D.C. at the Pentagon. I have no idea what was going on. So then the teacher finally turns on the TV like 5 minutes before the bell rings. This was right before our, you know, a break we had. So we saw I'm pretty sure we saw the second plane hit the tower, but I don't know that for sure. And we all just sat there in stunned silence because we didn't know what, I at the time didn't know what the Twin Towers were, didn't know what the World Trade Center was, you know, very naive about all that stuff. And then we learned a couple minutes later that the Pentagon had also been hit, but his mom had called to let us know that she was okay. And I still think back on that God gave him that knowledge before he even knew anything about it. You know, ran skip break that day, went to the next teacher's class, watched what we could. It was a U.S. history class, so she was very willing to let us watch all that stuff. And very confused about all this stuff, being 16, not knowing world events, all that, and all that. Then 4 years later, I believe, my sophomore year in high school, of college, I actually got to go up to Connecticut, which is a short train ride away from New York City. And we took a whirlwind tour of New York City, seeing as many things as we could in the city at one time. And one of the stops we made was Ground Zero. At that time, you know, it's now considered Ground Zero. And to see 4 years later, the amount of rubble that was still there, to see all of the people that had stopped by at their different times and written messages on the concrete, because there's a fence up and everything, you can't go in there. To see people that had written messages and, you know, thinking about you, praying about you, you know, I was here at this time. And our group, there's probably 10 of us. It was the quietest I'd ever seen a city that big was at Ground Zero. And this was 4 years later. And I have a picture of somebody drawing a cross, and we're praying for you with that in the background. It was still, never forget it.
One more. John?
Yeah, I was working at Gulfstream at the time when this happened, and obviously all the business kind of stopped, and everybody spent the day around the radio. But I had been on the telephone at the time that it happened with Kenny Sellers, and we were praying about something, and we just heard while we were on the phone that what was going on, and so every year we call each other and just to remind ourselves of that time and what we were doing. And at that time, I had a customer that with Gulfstream that that his brother was in the tower, and they never recovered any of his remains or anything. He just lost him completely in that.
Shelly, you'd be the last one.
I remember I was at basic training, and I had gone to the drill sergeant's office for something. I forgot what it was for. So I was standing in front of the drill sergeant's office, sending a parade rest, and his door was open, and they had a TV like right where the door was, and I was waiting for them to do whatever. So I was watching. I got the luxury of watching TV, which you don't really get to do in basic training. So I actually saw the first tower was on, there was smoke coming from the first tower. And I was like, some pilot didn't know how to fly. So they accidentally hit the tower. I was like, this is interesting. And all of a sudden I saw, as it was happening, the second plane go into the second tower. And I was like, oh no. And so drill sergeant dismissed me. I went upstairs and I told everybody that was in our bay. I think they were cleaning up or something. And they didn't believe me. And they had some people there that were from New York. And I told them it was real, but shortly thereafter, there was an announcement on the drill sergeant's, the intercom, telling everybody to get outside. So we're all running outside, and we get in formation, and the drill sergeant comes and announces in front of the whole platoon that there was an incident in New York and that we're under a terrorist attack. And then all of a sudden, he sees this people that were from New York started to break down crying because they had people that worked around that area. And shortly after that, they dismissed us. And then they explained to us, well, they didn't really explain, they yelled it. They told us to all pack our bags, bring it all outside, and that we were shortly going to be deployed right after that. And a lot of people are nervous because we're at basic training and we don't have the expectation of going to war from basic training. Long story short, it was kind of like they did it to shock the soldiers, to let them know that that's the reason why they were in the army, was to fight when we needed to fight. So that was an eye-opener for all the soldiers that were just entering basic training.
I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, why would you take this time to do that? Let me answer that and answer it very honestly. Because in our culture, we don't take enough time to do this, to remember, to get in touch with how we felt then. We'll reduce it to some clinical, cleaned up, redacted version that one newsreel after another has put together, and we remember that. But I wanted you to hear yourself today. Remember that, and remember how you felt. Remember how when you said your prayers that day, what you were praying, what you were asking God to do. I want to lead us in a prayer at this time. But before I do, I want to remind you, I mean, we could get into all the things. This right there, that should never be politicized. There should never be a political statement about what happened. The facts are there. And the world, if there's never an example that the world needs Jesus, this should remind us. Remember over the days that happened after that, by the news commentators trying to wrap their minds around, well, what evil? And they were trying to, they were dealing with theological issues and couldn't get it right. Couldn't get it right. And then, into that vacuum, God gives us the opportunity with the good news of Jesus. John put Psalm 46 up there. I thought, man, what a great psalm for that day and for this day. Let me read it to you. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Can you see the imagery here? Though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at the swelling, cried Selah, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nation made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. And we're seeing it lived out right now before our very eyes. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. Now get this. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and he cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Here's our admonition. Cease striving and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The underlined 10 times. There is no other way. There is no other God. There is no other true religion. There is no other Savior. There is one. He is exclusively Savior and Lord. And He's coming back and He is going to fulfill all of that. What is said in that song. Let's pray. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer time. And I'm going to ask on each one of these prayers that someone just stand up. We're not going to bring a microphone to you. Just stand up and lead us in this portion of the prayer. And then I'll close. First of all, let us pray for all of those, the families of those that lost their lives on that day. Would someone stand up and make that prayer? Someone now pray for our servicemen and women who are scattered all over the world and those who serve us locally that put their lives on the line, our firemen, our policemen, all those rescue personnel, the medical people, all of these people who put their lives on the line for us. Would someone stand and lead us in that prayer? Lord, we pray for our leaders. We pray for our president, our vice president, our Congress, all those who lead us in our state, our local officials. Lord, we're commanded, Lord, in Scripture, you command us to pray for them. And we're asking you, God, that you will lead them by your Spirit. We ask that you would come, that your hand of guidance would be upon them as they lead us in this nation. Lord, most of all today, we pray that the good news of Jesus, the love of God the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit will go to the world. And Lord, we'll start right where we are, right where we live, that You'll make of us these luminaries, these reflectors of the glory and the image of Jesus wherever we live. And Lord, we do pray for those, and especially, Lord, as we looked at those who are persecuted throughout the earth because of their faith, we pray You will encourage them. And Lord, encourage us by their example today that we'll share this precious good news. Lord, Your desire is that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. And we're asking You for that. Now, as we continue to pause in prayer, we open the altar. If you'd like to come, maybe you'd like to get someone to come with you and pray. But the altar is open for you to come and spend some time here on this day, on this 9/11, time with You and the Lord. The altar's open. We'd like to get those cards from you today, your prayer requests. If you have an offering to bring, a basket's in the back and in the front here. And we'll receive those at this time. I'd like to come and bring. I pray as you go today that you'll take this serious and somber and very getting down to business mood with you into this week. This is the first day of a new week, a week given unto Jesus. You can join us this afternoon for this prayer time at the band shell at the big park. Come on, we would love to have you. It's a testimony just of people joining together to pray for Savannah, pray for the church, pray for our country, and look forward to seeing you there. If you can't make it, pray where you are, 4 to 6 this afternoon. There's a divine synergy about that prayer, praying at the same time. I love you. Jesus loves you. And He's coming back real soon. Let's get busy with the work He's called us to. We send you out with the love of Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the authority of the Father. Amen.